My name is Liana, for those who haven't met. Excited to share with you tonight. We had a baby dedication this morning for the O'Kennedy's little girl, Jean. So that was also exciting. I want to tell you something that my kids said to me the other day. So 2 weeks ago, we're driving to school in the morning, and we're driving behind a Sunfuel truck, you know, the oil. And it had the whole back of the truck was a picture of a bottle of oil. And my son, Evan, who's two, said, Mommy, that's a really big bottle of juice. And I said, no, it's not juice, it's oil. And he said, what is in the truck? I said, I think there's oil in the truck. And he said, how much oil do you think is in the truck? I said, I think it's probably full. It's probably like thousands of bottles of oil in the truck. And so the truck turns away, and we turn the other way. And he says, Mommy, why did the truck drive a different road? So now I'm thinking, everything I answer, there's going to be another why. I'm trying to think of an answer that's going to make it stop. So I said, because there's no point the truck driving to your play school because your teacher doesn't want 1,000 bottles of oil. So he thinks a little bit. He says, that truck should go to our church because the people always pray with oil. I think they need all that oil. So I thought that was a good observation. And then last week, obviously Malaya, who's 4, has been thinking about this. And she said to me, Mommy, why do we pray for people with oil? So I said, it's a symbol, not that she knows what a symbol is, but I said, it represents the Holy Spirit. And she said, why do we do that? I said, because it's like when you put the oil on someone, it's like you inviting the Holy Spirit to do something. You're inviting God to do something. And Evan said, but the Holy Spirit is not God. I said, he is, because it's God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. God is three. And Evan said, and I am two. And I said, no, he's not 3 years old. I said, he said, how old is God? I said, no, he's very old. He said, like you. My kids can count to 30, so I'm older than 30. So anything older than 30 is like very old. I said, actually, I'm not that old. I said, no, actually, and I'm trying to think what's the right answer. I said, actually, God is not an age. So Evan says, like a baby. Because when a baby is born, they ask me how old is the baby. I said, he's not an age yet, he's just born. It's like a baby. I said, no, not like a baby. As in, he's always existed and he's always going to exist. Evan went like. that was just too much for him. He was like, Mommy, what are you talking about? Oh, I enjoy my kids so much. And the things they share. I want to invite you to the prayer room. I think it's this Saturday, Matthew, that it's the long one. So this Saturday, actually, you're going to be welcome from 10 in the morning till 7 in the evening. So because the Nations Band are going to have 12-hour or a long worship and fasting, I think, or whatever, maybe not. But they're going to have a get-together. Oh, fasting. Okay, they're praying fasting. They were amazing. I don't know if you realize how often they do that. It's really cool. And so it's going to be, we're going to be open Saturday for that whole long time. You don't have to come the full time, but pop in somewhere in that time. Really want to invite you. We've been having a lot of people in our prayer room. We started the prayer room, for those who don't know, at the beginning of the year. We use the room over there on Saturdays when there's lots of people, we use this space. And we want to grow towards the 24/7 prayer room, but we're just starting with little bits now. You can come and pray anytime between 9 and 5, but on Mondays and Saturdays between 10 and 12, we have live bands while you pray. So the way we do the prayer room is you come and you pray. So we don't listen to each other or pray with each other or speak to each other. You pray. Whatever you want to pray, no one listens to you. And you stay as long as you want to stay, and then you leave when you feel you're done. So I really want to invite you. It's an amazing space to connect to God, to meet with him for a consecrated space. And just to pray whatever's on your heart. If you feel like you can only pray for 10 minutes, then you come for 10 minutes. And then God grows us from that place. I really want to invite you, and I want to encourage you. And I was so encouraged that in the week, I was thinking about, you know, we went to Indonesia last year, myself and Reino, and the Lord really set us up. And we met there, and I, you know, go listen. Oh, I didn't put that sermon on the web, so if you missed it, you missed it, too bad. But I shared that in Indonesia, they're really having a revival. It's a Muslim country, the biggest Muslim country in the world, actually, in terms of numbers. And 2 million Muslims per year are converting to Christianity. It's major. It's really major what's happening there. And everything they do is around prayer rooms. So we really learned a lot there. And that's what inspired us to come here. Myself and Matthew and Megan have been researching prayer rooms. And then I found that there would be a meeting this past Thursday for all the leaders of prayer rooms in Cape Town. And we went there, myself and Matthew and Reino, and it was amazing, of course, to meet so many people in Cape Town who are praying and who have prayer rooms all over, and to become part of that bigger body and the bigger thing that God is doing in Cape Town. And two things that I want to encourage you with. The first is the guy was speaking and he said, you know, this way of prayer that we use was birthed in Indonesia. Isn't that amazing? The Lord just confirming what he's showing us. And I believe the Lord has really given us a key in the prayer room. The prayer room this year, by the way, if you didn't know, it's the key. Everything is happening around that. And for instance, even the band, the arts ministry, and intercession, we're combining those as one ministry, and it's all going to be around the prayer room. So really something that the Lord is doing in our midst. And then the second thing is, he said, you know, because I think a lot of those people, they've often met together before, we're kind of the new ones. And he said, you know, all these scriptures that the Lord has been giving us all these years, this is what we're still believing for. And he started reading the scriptures that they've had over the last however many 20 years. And scripture for scripture, the scriptures that the Lord has been giving us, the very same ones. Yeah. So I preached last year in around September, October, I preached a memorial service. We used those artworks at the back as a visual representation, and I went through all the years that this church has existed, 7 years, I went through all our notes and prayer notes, and I took out the things that repeated most often, and I got it on a one page, so it's maybe about 20 or so scriptures, and those are the ones that they read on Thursday. So really an encouragement from the Lord that he speaks to his church, and he's speaking to us, and there's a bigger body, and we're part of that, and God is really moving in Cape Town. And by the way, they're all praying for revival. They're all speaking about revival. And this is what the Lord is showing them, what he is showing us. So really wonderful to get that connection and to hear that we are spot on in what the Lord is doing and where he's taking us. Very excited about that. And I made a note which I can't read myself. Oh. I want to share just a testimony of how good God is. Then I'll get into the message. we went camping 2 weeks ago, and Evan Aiden is my son, and he's quite wild. He's forever falling and bumping and climbing on stuff, etc. It's that kind of boy, a real boy, boy, boy. And that a lot of us went camping, and there was a fire. Where we did poikies, and it was maybe from where I am until that rope, maybe like as wide as the screen, and like not very broad, maybe like this. And then there was a, surrounding it was a little wall with two bricks, so two bricks high around it. And then we made the coals in there, and then we were a lot of people, so we put like five poikies, you know, for the food. Myself and even Aiden walked past, and we walked back. And I was walking, and he was behind me, and something he often does, he turns around, then he walks backwards, just the thing he does. And I didn't see, and so he walked backwards like this, and he didn't see where the fire was. And he tripped on the wall with his foot, and he fell with his whole body into the fire. And it was red coals, because we've been preparing the coals for the poiki. So it wasn't flames, but it was red coals spread out. And Kenny was standing there, mixing the poiki, and praise the Lord for Kenny, because he immediately saw what happened, and he just went in with both his hands, and he scooped Evan. And I mean, Kenny must have almost pushed, his hands didn't burn, but it must have like gone actually through the coals, because he just so Evan fell with his whole body, but he tried to stop himself with his hand, and Kenny picked him out, and he was screaming, Evan, and I turned around, I saw what happened, I was screaming, and Reino came screaming, and we're just running Evan to a tap, and I'm just putting him under the tap, and he's wearing long pants and a long shirt, so I can't see where is the problem. And he's full of ash and coal and stuff, and I'm just trying to get it off him, and everyone's panicking. And I'm just saying, trying to say, Evan, where is it sore? And I'm like, Reina, just let him go. Let me just see where's the problem. And fortunately, Ilana was there, who was a nurse, and she came running up, and so I want to put ice on him. She said, no, don't put ice on him, just water. Eventually, we all calmed down, and I was able to look everywhere under the clothing. And he had his hand was burned. We couldn't see how much because it was full of ash and things. And we tried to wash it off, but then it's difficult to see. And then we got a burn shield, we put it on his hand, we wrapped it, and we actually saw that nowhere else on his body did he burn, which is such a miracle. And I mean, you hear these stories every week, and really terrible things happen to kids. And then the evening, I took off the burn shield just to check, and he had three little blisters on his hand. So we just really want to praise the Lord and really thank him. God is really good. He looks after our kids. And my kids, Evan goes to bed in a bed, but then he sleeps really rough. So we've often found him like on the floor on the other side of the room in the morning. So we've just, what we do is when I go to bed, I put him in a cot. It's just safer. So I've had mornings where I can't find him. So I have to like look for him under the bed. Where is he? And while she's asleep, I need to take her to the bathroom. So at about 11 at night, I go and I just take her to the bathroom in her sleep. You learn about that when you potty train kids one day. So I've gotten into a habit when I take Malaya to the bathroom and when I take Evan to his cot, I pray for them. And I just speak protection over them and I speak God's blessing over them and whatever's going on in their lives at the moment. That's kind of a time when I pray for them. And it's just so amazing to me, God's faithfulness. When the moment came, God protected my son. And I'm so grateful. It could have been really terrible. And I just wanted to encourage you as well, and for all of us in the season, to also pray for your spiritual kids and your friends and your brothers and sisters in Christ, the people in your small group, the people sitting around you. Trust the Lord. Get a time in your day, like maybe when you go to bed, maybe when you wake up, whatever works for you, but connect it to something, like maybe when you have your lunch, or have like something, a connection every day that at this time, just pray for the people around me. God is so faithful when we do that. So I'm going to share tonight about what's in a name. And I actually, Bianca, if we can go to the videos first, that would be so great. I'm going to start with Simon Peter. And the reason I'm going to start here is because of Matthew's song that the Lord gave him now about us being in the boat and the Lord being there and being with us, and Rihanna's word. Thank you, Matthew and Rihanna, for sharing that. Such a confirmation, I believe. And, you know, the key thing that I heard when Rihanna was also speaking, and I want you to engrave this on your heart, is God is saying, I'm with you, and I'm not surprised. I know what's going on, and you can trust me. I want you to almost engrave that on your heart, what the Lord is saying tonight. I'm with you. Things don't surprise me, and you can trust me. So important for us. So we're going to start off with the videos, three videos. It's about Jesus and Peter. It comes from the Son of God movie and the Bible series, DVD series. And we're going to see how Peter meets Jesus, then where Jesus actually changes Peter's name. And then we're going to go on to the scene on the water. So I want to just quickly talk about the storm. And, you know, crises happen, and we don't plan for them. That's the definition of a crisis. And the thing is, the storm, for all of us, we sometimes find ourselves in that storm. You know, different people experience different things. Sometimes we lose a loved one. You could lose a job. We all have different lives, so many different things that could affect us. And for people who don't know Christ, a storm can be really terrible. For people who know Christ, a storm can also be really terrible. But there's one essential difference. What is the essential difference? God is in the storm, yeah. So this is a little bit of a side note to the sermon. but I just felt to share that with you. And that picture, I've also seen an artwork last year. Wanted to ask me and I'll email it to you, but it's a Jesus, it's the way Jesus looks from inside the water with his hand going down. It says Peter's perspective of the Savior, and it's really spoken so much to me, really a theme that the Lord has been speaking this year, the storm and Peter and walking on the water. And it's good for us as Christians to not live thinking that the storm won't come, but to know what to do when it does. And, you know, myself and Rana always pray every year. We ask God for a word, for the year and for me this year, what the Lord said is stand, stay, pray. And it's actually quite a good word for a storm. It's a good word for a lot of things, but it also applies to a storm. And you know, a friend of mine had a lot of medical problems, really a lot of things in her body was failing. And this happened for a lot of years, and it wasn't really getting better. And at some point, she just couldn't take it anymore, and she just said she's going to change jobs and change country. So she just moved to a new country, and she started a new job. And I could understand where she was coming from, because she just needed something to change. But the thing is, when for her, for instance, in that moment, it's actually not good to make such a big decision when you're not coming from a stable emotional place, because you're probably reacting instead of acting. And that goes for anyone, but especially for us who know Christ. We don't make big life decisions from a reaction. We make big life decisions from the Word of God and from His guidance. So for me, stand, stay, pray. I think one thing to do when the storm comes is to stand on the Word of God. I know sometimes Rainer, when he's had malaria, he's had it quite a few times. I remember sometimes when he has it, I would say to him, you know, kind of, what are you doing? He'll kind of go into a zone, and he'll tell me, I'm just surviving. And that's what it is sometimes to stand. Just make it. Just get alive. Stay alive to the other side of the storm. Just stand. And stay in the Word, stay in the presence of God, stay with what He's said to you, stay with what He's saying to you now. Pray. You know, if for instance you lose your job, that could be a storm that could hit your life. There are normal things that we go through. We go through disappointment, we go through anger, so we go through a lot of emotions. Sometimes we question God, why did you let this happen? And it's okay to go to God and ask Him questions. And I want to tell you that that is okay when you're in a storm, to go to God and say, God, why did this happen? And it's okay to feel upset. It's okay to feel disappointed. It's okay to feel down about it. And it's okay sometimes to discuss that with someone. I feel like this. I feel my boss really disappointed me. I feel really hurt. I feel let down. It's not okay to be disrespectful. So you can't go to your friend and say, my boss is the worst person that ever lived, and he's such a mean person, and he's terrible. We might do that, and if you get into doing that, then repent. So there is a line of respect there. It's okay to say, I feel like this, I feel like that. It's not okay to speak badly about someone else. But it is okay to work through the emotions. And you know, something amazing is when you get to speak to God, so stand, stay, but then pray. And if you actually work through the emotions with God, and this has happened to me last year, in Indonesia, there was something I was dealing with. And when I went to the prayer room in Indonesia, I felt that God brought that up. And I spent 2 hours in prayer. And it was really hard for me. Like, I'm not used to praying 2 hours all at once. And it's draining, and you get physically tired. You get physically tired, and sometimes you feel like you don't know what to say anymore. That's just very real how it is. But we were there with a very high-profile pastor, and I wasn't going to let him see me not pray. That's the truth. So that's why I persevered for 2 hours. But towards the end, it's like I could access what's really going on with me. It's like God could access it. And I could cry, and I could let the emotions come out, and I could deal with it with God, and I could get my healing. It's important as well when we go through a storm to realize sometimes that we need healing. And yes, people can help with our healing, but God is the healer. And I've seen amazing things this year in the prayer room. And I've seen, there's a lot of people who come to the prayer room, and I've seen that happen. I've seen people come in and pray, and I see God working their healing while they're praying in the prayer room. So I really want to encourage you with that. I'm not going to share long tonight, because I've been sharing long already. But what I want to share with you tonight is, what is in a name? And we were dedicating a baby this morning, so that was really on my heart. And it's just something so important that we don't always realize. You know, if you look at Scripture, there's ways to interpret Scripture, that we make sure we don't always just interpret in Scripture whatever we want. One of the rules of exegesis, which is interpreting scripture, hermeneutical rules, is you go to it's first mentioned. So you go to where something is spoken about first in the Bible, and then that gives you a good context for how that thing works. When you think about naming, who knows when is the first time something was named in the Bible? Janina? Amen. So in Genesis, Adam named the animals. It's in Genesis 2, verse 19 to 20. This year, I've asked everyone to please bring their actual Bibles to church. I really want to encourage you to use your real Bible as opposed to your phone, because phones just sometimes, you know, have WhatsApps and Facebook and everything else on. And I think it's a good year for us to really reconnect to our Bibles. I said I'm not going to put scriptures on here so that you can actually read it up in your Bible, but I made an exception today because this morning we had a lot of baby dedication visitors. So you're getting the scriptures for free tonight. But next time, bring your Bible. So God says, Adam named the animals, and he said to see what he would name them. Now that word, the original word, is kara, and the word means call out, proclaim, pronounce. So there's an aspect of that word which is not just Nolutandu looks like a Nolutandu to me, so I call it Nolutandu. What they're saying is when you kara, you give something a name, you're calling out, proclaiming, announcing what it will be. So quite likely, when Adam named the animals, the name that he chose for them determined what that animal would be like. Then it says, whatever Adam called them, that was their name. And that word for name is Shem. And it's got a lot of meanings. These are not the only ones. I just picked these ones out. But some of it is a mark of individuality, authority, and character. So biblically, this is what it is to name someone. And this is what the name encompasses in the end. The mark of individuality, authority, and character. If you look at, you know, a lot of scripture, but one of the examples in Isaiah 43, verse 1, it says, this is what the Lord says, who created you, he formed you, O Jacob, who formed you, Israel. Do not fear, for I've redeemed you. I've called you by name. You are mine. So God actually knows you by your name. Now, I can speak about someone, I can speak about Kara. Then if I say Kara, then you know who I'm talking about, but there might be another Kara. So I have to say Kara Herring, then you know who I'm talking about. So there might be another Kara Herring. Do you have a second name? Jacqueline. So I can say Kara Jacqueline Herring. Then it might be a bit more specific. If I didn't know her name, I would have to say the blonde girl, which is really general. That could just as well be Kathleen. So the more specific you know someone's name, the better you can identify them. It's an identifier. And the same in scripture. Do you see that God calls you by your name? So we sometimes think of a name as, you know, what name sounds nice? What is a popular name? What can I call my children? And naming is definitely different in different cultures, how naming is done. But in scripture, God says your name is your identifier. And the amazing thing for me is, if you look at Acts 19, where the sons of Sceva were trying to cast demons out of people, and they weren't able to because they're not Christians, the demons said to them, Paul I know and Jesus I know, but who are you? So do you see that your name is not just an identifier in the natural, but your name is an identifier in the spirit realm? And the spirits even know the name. And we don't always realize that your name is so significant. Revelation 3 verse 5, the one who conquers will be clothed in white garments, and I will never blot his name from the book of life. So your name, we know that. Your name is written in the book of life. But sometimes we just think of your entity, you know. But it's your actual name. It's going to say Cora Jacqueline Herring in the book of life. And I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Very encouraging. In the New Testament, the word name is onoma, and it just literally means name or authority or character. You even see someone like Moses, Exodus 32, verse 17. I know you by name. Actually, this is right through scripture. Something interesting that I found, Isaiah 44, if you just move on from that previous scripture in Isaiah 43, in chapter 44, verse 3, it says, I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. Okay, now we're talking about the children and the children's children. We're talking about descendants. They shall spring up among the grass like willows by flowing streams. This one will say, I am the Lord's, Another will call on the name of Jacob. Another will write on his hand the Lord's and name himself by the name of Israel. So we see names now actually passing through descendants. And in some cultures, that is a tradition that names get passed down, especially in the Afrikaans culture, that's quite common. So there would be Johannes Gerardus, and every boy is Johannes Gerardus, or Maria Magdalena, that's, or Maria Elisabeth. Those of us Afrikaans, we know all these names, that are particular names that always go through the generations. In some other cultures, that's also done, but it's amazing to see this in scripture, you know. And this morning, Jean was dedicated, and Jean, Fia's dad is Jan, and Jean is the female version of Jan, and Kenny's mom is Jean. So she was named after two grandparents. And Kenny and Fia said when they prayed for her, they felt that she would be sacrificial, serving, loving, and thanksgiving. And those are the attributes that they see in those two grandparents. So God led them to the name, and naming the child after them is saying that she will inherit their good characteristics, which is a real blessing and really powerful. What I also see in the scripture, which is amazing, and this is also throughout scripture, is that there's two names on you. Okay, so each person has a name. Everyone sitting here has a name. And there is a specific name. It's in Revelation 2, verse 17. It says, "Whoever's ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give that person a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to the one who receives it." So God has a specific name for each person. And I've seen through the years that in most cases, the name that your parents gave you is that name, because God influences your parents to give you that name, whether they know it or not. We have a book where you can look up that. We have a few books where you can look up the meaning of a name, and I'm going to give opportunity for that at the end of the service afterwards. And we've done this so often over the last 14 years, and it's amazing how when people find the meaning of their name, how it corresponds to who they are. So my name's Liana. It's not a family name. I don't have a second name. My brother's Tian, my sister's Carla. My mom liked the sound of an A in Afrikaans, so she just gave her kids names with lots of A's in them. And so there's no real meaning to how I got my name, except that it had lots of A's in it. But my name comes from Elijah, and it speaks about the prophetic. And I only heard that when I was about 20, but it's descriptive of who I am. And, you know, my mom is quite prophetic, and I can see my daughter is also quite prophetic. So, like, I got brown eyes from my dad, and you sometimes get a personality trait from a parent. Spiritual gifts are blessings, and they are also passed down. And even though my parents didn't intentionally think about what my name would mean, the Lord guided them. And I think it's two ways. God chose my name for who I would become, but then my name also made me become that. Because what is the word that people speak over you the most in your life? Your name. From when you were born, the word that you heard the most in your life is your name. And we know the power of life and death is in the tongue. And that gets spoken over you the whole time. So it's good for us to ask the Lord, you know, to go and see what our name means, and to ask the Lord if that is what he intended. It often is. There are very exceptional cases where it's sometimes not. And sometimes the Lord would show you that he wants you to have a different name. If, for instance, your parents called you Lucifer, that might not be I did know someone who was called Lucifer. That might be a situation where you would want to ask the Lord, what was his name for you? You might want to change that. A friend of mine was called Hester by birth, and when she was saved, the Lord kept speaking to her about Esther in the Bible, and she prayed about it, and she felt that the name that the Lord has for us, Esther. She spoke to her parents, who are also Christians, and they prayed together, and they were happy for her to change it, and she just legally changed her name to Esther. So today, if you met her, you would just think she was Esther. But I think those are the exceptions where the Lord does that. If you look again at Scripture, Revelation 22, verse 4, speaking about heaven, they will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. Now, in Isaiah 44, they said they'll have the name of the Lord or the name of Jacob, or they will write on their foreheads, "I'm the Lord's," or they will take the name of Israel. So as a Christian, you have your name, which the Lord intended for you, which is quite possibly the name that you've been given. But you also have the name of the Lord on you, as in Jehovah, or Jesus, you know, whichever way you'd like to express it, biblically. God, he also writes his own name on you because you are his. And I read this in a commentary which I loved. It says, the name on the forehead, the name of Jesus on your forehead, indicates identification with and possession by God, a spiritual citizenship, and a reflection of the character of Christ. So when we connect to Christ, when we become believers, when we connect to God in relationship, he writes his name on our foreheads. And in the same way that your name says who you are, but you also become what your name is, in the same way, the name of Jesus on your forehead says who you are. You're a child of God, but you also become that name. You become like Jesus, a spiritual citizenship, a reflection of the character of Christ. Really love that. So we also see in Scripture, actually, that God changes people's names, as I've named some examples, or he gives them extra names. That Scripture in Isaiah 44, where people say, one will say, I'm the Lord, one will say, I'm of Jacob, one will say, I'm of Israel. The it says the name Jacob and the name Israel, but it should actually be translated the name Jacob or the surname Israel. It's not the same word that's used in the Hebrew. And the implication there is that it's, the first name is not taken away, the second name is just added. So we're just going to look at four examples in Scripture where God changed people's names. First one is Abram and Sarai. Genesis 17, verse 5 and 15, it describes, they no longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. So Abram meant, let me just make sure, your high father. Abram meant high father. Abraham meant the father of a multitude. So this was God speaking to Abram and Sarah, who couldn't have children, about the fact that they will be the father and the mother of nations. And as he speaks to them, he says, he changes their names. So it's a point in their life where God is revealing something to them about their calling, and accordingly he changes their names to reflect that and to speak that over them. Same with Sarah. God said to Abram, as for Sarai, your wife, which means princess, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah, which means queen or mother of nations. And that shall be her name. And it's so beautiful for me, the couple who have the calling together. You know, when you're married, you have the calling together. God changes both. He brings them together to the next thing that he wants to do in their life. Second example, Jacob and Israel, that I've already mentioned. Let's read Genesis 32. Then he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob. So Jacob, in the evening, an angel came, and he was wrestling with the angel all night, and eventually he gave up, and we'll read him. The angel said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. Jacob meant supplanter, which is not a good name. It's like deceiver. And Israel means prince with God. For you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed. So something remarkable happens in Jacob's life, and he changes. And the angel, or it might be a picture of Jesus, says to him, this is the way in which you have changed. This is what you used to be, but this is who you are. This is now. This is who I say you are. And he keeps, you know, if you look further in Scripture, he is again referred to sometimes as Jacob. He doesn't lose his old name. He keeps his old name, but God adds to that. I think also to indicate that change. It's not like you wipe what has been before, but you keep what has been before to see what God has done, to keep the memorial. And Jacob asked him, please tell me your name. So there's this understanding of the importance of the name as an identifier of the person. And he said, why is that you ask my name? And there he blessed him. So he didn't tell him his name, but he understood that Jacob was asking his identity. And he blessed him. And in blessing him, he was really answering the question. So Jacob was saying, who are you? And he said, this is who I am. He blessed him. And then Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, for I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been delivered. Even scripturally, places were often named strategically because of something that God said or because of something that happened here. And here we see Jacob doing that. And the third example we're going to look at is that of God's people, Jerusalem. and God, the Jews, and God's the city, Zion or Jerusalem. So here we're speaking about the name of a group and the name of a place as opposed to an individual. We read Isaiah 62, the nations will see your vindication and all kings your glory. You will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. No longer will they call you deserted or name your land desolate, but you will be called Hephzibah and your land Beulah. For the Lord will take delight in you and your land will be married. They will be called the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. You will be called sought out, a city not forsaken. So, you know, in the, a lot of cultures, they call a child something based on how they were born, and maybe the name will mean firstborn, or the name will mean she was born in summer, or the name will mean the mother had pain, or the name will mean this brings joy to the family. So the child is called something about the circumstances of the birth or the family at that time. And so often the actual name will mean that, so in the same language. So for instance, in English, it's not very common, but something like if you called your child Joy. So everyone knows what the name Joy means because it's an actual English word. So in a lot of languages, this is common, that a name is a word of that language, which is now just used as a name. All names mean something, actually, which you will find in the book if you didn't know. But your name might come from another language, which is why the meaning is not obvious or apparent. Now, this is the way they use the word here. They say that the mouth of the Lord will be stoned. No longer will they call you deserted. So we think of deserted as a word, but in this context, it's used as a name, just in the same language. Desolate, then Hephzibah, Beulah, Beulah being married. For the land will take delight in you and your land will be married. They will be called the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, called sought after, a city not forsaken. A beautiful picture of the Lord changing the name of a group of people and of a place because of his redemptive words and because of a specific season. We have done a lot of outreach in Durban over the last few years, and Marnus and Janet are the pastors there. We love them a lot. They were pastors in this church, and then they went to take over that church in Durban. And we've, over the years, we've done the outreaches there, and you know, that area is Natal, and the word Natal means nativity, so it speaks about birth. And as we've been going there, the Lord showed this to us. And you know that the Lord, I'm sure the people who chose the name Natal, I don't think they prayed about it. I think they just chose a name. But the Lord influenced them, and they chose a name which says something about the calling of that area. And you know, birthing is an important spiritual concept. A lot of things must be birthed in the spirit. And it was so interesting for us to realize that as we were reaching out there, that that is one of the strings that God wants to bring there. And because of that, it's the area where the enemy attacks the most. So for instance, they often have churches that start there that only last a year or two, which is like a birth that doesn't happen in the spiritual sense. So the calling of that place is to birth things in the spirit. So the enemy comes and this is the point of attack. And it's good to know, because that's the point then where you pray and you're content for what God had in mind. Even in the natural, we saw in Durban a really high rate of abortion. Again, the births that's being attacked. So even in a place, there's a lot of significance about a name. And we can ask the Lord always about a place as well. What is his name? Is this his name? What is he saying through it? And what is our role in that? Then the one that you've seen the video now, Simon Peter, John 1:42, and that was in the second video. They brought Peter to Jesus, and when Jesus saw him, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which is Peter, which is translated a stone. So also a specific time, and then he says, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." So also a specific time in Peter's life where the Lord is showing him something about his calling, and he says, "This is what I'm calling you to do, and because of that, this is what you're going to be called." Something specific and significant that the Lord is speaking over him. And the last one we're going to look at is Saul. So Saul was a persecutor of Christians, and he had a great conversion on the road to Damascus, Acts 9, And a lot of people say that his name changed at his conversion, but if you look at scripture, that's actually not correct, because after his conversion, they still called him Saul. Now, Saul, in Acts 13 verse 9, it says, Saul, who was also called Paul. So that was both his names, Saul and Paul. And Saul is actually a Jewish name, and Paul is a Hebrew name. So in Acts 13 verse 12, the proconsul, which is a Gentile, which is a prominent man, gets saved through Saul. And from that very moment, they start calling him Paul. So one of the theories is that because Saul was always proud of his Jewish heritage, so he often used to speak about all the titles that he has had and how esteemed he was in that sense, he would have obviously used the name Saul because it's a Jewish name, and that is where he found his esteem. But when after he got saved and when he started walking in his calling and God spoke to him about his calling being to the Gentiles, and after the first big Gentile conversion, people start referring to him as Paul. So that one of the theories is that because Paul is a Hebrew name, he knew that it's more indicative of that what the Lord is calling him to now, and people who are Gentiles are going to be more comfortable with a Hebrew name than a Jewish name. So just interesting to see the different ways which the Bible approaches this and how powerful a name actually is. And I want to share a blessing story. I asked his permission. So Blessing's name is Letlo Honolo, and a long time ago he got saved, and Pastor Seals was praying for him, and Blessing translated his name to Lucky, which is the English translation of Letlo Honolo. So I said to Sias, you know, my name is Lucky, and Sias prayed for him. And then Sias said, I feel the Lord saying, you will no longer be called Lucky, you will be called Blessing. And Blessing received that, and from then we called him Blessing. And it's just such an appropriate name. Oh, there's Blessing. For Blessing, he's such a blessing. But the amazing thing for me, what Blessing shared with me later, was that later when he looked at a Bible translation, he saw that they translated the word Letlo Honolo, they also translated to the word blessing. So for us, some people think blessing and luck is the same thing. Luck comes from a God, there's a God of luck. Blessing comes from Christ. So for us, blessing and luck are really not the same thing at all. But the translators obviously saw it as the same thing. So they translate the same word to both of those. But isn't it amazing that God chose the right name for him, even at birth? And in a way, he was just not aware of it until God came and said that to him, and he would find, but that is actually the real meaning of his name. And so beautiful for me how the Lord reveals that. So let's all stand. And I'm going to pray for us. And like I said, we're going to give opportunity afterwards for you to actually look up your name in the book. And if you don't know what your name means, then I really want to ask you to come forward. Let someone quickly look it up for you. I think, you know, Jamie will be with the books, and I think you just quickly take a picture of your name so that the books can travel quickly enough through everyone. But then you can sit with someone, and they can pray with you through the meaning of your name and really see what the Lord is, what he's actually been speaking over you all your life, which you maybe haven't known about. But as I said, there's two names on us. There's the name that God gives you, but there's also the name of Jesus that he wants to write on our foreheads. And let's just close our eyes, and we're going to pray for that. Father, we thank you just for that place where you write your name on our foreheads. And as it says so beautifully, we become part of a spiritual citizenship. And it's a sign of possession and importation in a good way. Father, it's that sign of freedom, the freedom when we yield to you. And it's that sign of becoming like Christ. And Father, tonight we are so grateful for that, because that is our life. That is our life, is that fact that we have found you and yielded to you and allowed ourselves to be found by you, God. And I want to pray tonight for anyone who's not sure that they have the name of Jesus written on their forehead. If someone, you know, there are people who can see in the spirit realm, and they can see that, they can, for instance, see the difference between someone who's baptized and someone who's not. Someone has personally told me this, that she can see when someone walks up to her, she can see whether they were baptized or not, because when you get baptized, something changes about you in the spirit realm. And in the same way, there's people who can see whether the name of Jesus is written on your head or not, but you will know. And if you're not sure, you can always make sure. So I really want to pray for you if it's not written in your name and you want it to be there or you're not sure. So while every eye is closed, if you can just look at me and just like catch my attention, open your eyes or just show me where you are, then I really want to pray with you. Is there anyone like that? Jesus, we thank you for this amazing privilege that we have the name of Jesus written on our foreheads. And thank you, Jesus, that we can walk in that surety, Lord, of what, that you have written your name on us. Like our names are written on the palm of your hand, your name is written on our foreheads. And I thank you tonight for each person here and for the specific name that you've chosen for them and where it might be their birth name, possibly, or maybe you want to even show them something more. Father, that like you, there's some people that you added to their name because of something that you're calling them. I thank you for that tonight, that you would come to your spirit and speak that over each person. And Father, we just thank you for the words that came through Matthew and Rihanna. And in our hearts, we respond to that. And for some of you who've been going through a storm, you just respond in your hearts and also just yield your hearts to God as I pray. Father, for those who've been in the storm, we thank you that we can declare tonight that you are God. Jesus, thank you that as your name is written on our heads, we can declare that you are there. Father, thank you that it doesn't matter where we sink, when we fail to actually walk on the water after you, that that's okay, Jesus, and that your hand is still there to pick us up. Thank you, Lord, that you don't expect from us a perfect response in a crisis. But thank you that like children who when they fall, they just cry, Mommy, Mommy. Thank you, Jesus, when the crisis comes, you just cry, Daddy, Daddy, Jesus. And that that is enough, Jesus, that we can call on the name of Jesus and be saved. We can call on the name of Jesus and get into that safe space. God, I pray over each person here, whether they've been in a storm or whether they at some point in their life going to be in a storm. Thank you when that moment comes, Father. I pray over them for that response to be Jesus, Jesus, God. And thank you even in the times when we feel like you failed us, when we feel like we don't understand what you're doing. Thank you, Father, that even that we can just bring to you and just say, Lord, I feel like you failed me. I know that you never fail, but this is really what I feel. Thank you, God, for answers. Thank you for some people who already have that question in their hearts. And thank you, Jesus, that you are always the answer. And I just want to declare for you tonight, the truth is that Jesus knows everything that happens and that is going to happen. If you, for instance, lose your job, Jesus knew that it was going to happen and he still put you in that job. He's good and he had a plan because it didn't surprise him that it happened. He knew it was going to happen and yet he still allowed it to go down that road. So you can rest secure in the fact that God is God and he knew it was going to happen and therefore he has a plan. And though the plan might not come as soon as you think or want, that is okay because God is perfect and we can trust him. And thank you, Lord, that we can set our hearts to trust you tonight. And I want us to respond to that. And Matthew, if we can sing our commitment to trust God. And while our eyes are still closed, I want you to really, for those of us who want to make this decision, say, Lord, if I'm in the storm now or if the storm is going to come, the one decision that I'm going to make is to trust you and to trust your voice. If you want to make that decision, I just want you to put up your hands as a sign to God that you're responding. So, Father, we choose with our hearts right now that we will trust you. Father, and even though it might be difficult and even though we don't understand, thank you that even as Rihanna's word came, in that place, even though it seems strange and unsolvable, we can trust you because you're God and because you saw everything coming. And we thank you for that, Jesus. And we're just going to worship and declare our trust to God. And then if we finish worshiping, you're welcome to come forward for your name, to get the meaning of your name. But let's just worship God. Let's just declare our trust to him.